Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Dr. Anthony Fauci, Director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. Well, I want to touch, you've commented on this a couple of times today about the global aspects of your mission. And I'd like to understand, what are your four core principles around guiding your international portfolio and responsibilities?
Well, there are a number of core principles, and they're very important. The first is that when you're dealing with a foreign country, which is usually a developing nation of low and middle income, that you must do your experiments with the highest degree of ethical guidelines and ethical considerations. That's point number one. Point number two is you've got to engage in a true partnership with the country. It can't be paternalistic where you come in and you tell them what's good for them. You've got to have a partnership. That's the other one. The third is that you must conduct research whose ultimate goal is the benefit of the people on whom you're doing the research. So to go into a foreign country and do the kind of research that would ultimately be of no benefit to them, but would be benefit to you back home because they unlikely would ever be able to either afford or wouldn't apply to their population, would be unethical. So it would have to be to the benefit of the group. And the other, you have to be very transparent and share information so that if you do research in a country, you've got to make all of the information totally available to those people who participated in that.
I often talk to my guests about the importance of collaboration and partnerships in achieving mission outcomes. How are you leveraging partnerships and improving your outcomes and operations?
Well, we have a number of partnerships both within the federal government and outside the federal government. I'll give you some examples. We very closely collaborate and partner with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, many collaborations with the Department of State, for example, the PEPFAR program. We collaborate with the Department of Homeland Security with the biodefense. We collaborate with the Department of Defense because a lot of the vaccines that we make are important for the troops. So you're talking about a whole number of different departments, USAID, others that we collaborate with. Then when you get outside of the federal government, we collaborate with organizations like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Clinton Foundation, Médecins Sans Frontières, Doctors Without Borders, and others, various Stop TB programs and malaria programs. And the importance of that collaboration is that it really provides for what we call a synergy of ideas. Because if you go it alone, you really deprive yourself of the expertise and the perspective of others who come from it from a different angle. And that's the reason why we very much embrace these kinds of collaborations, because it's good for everyone.
So, Doctor, what technological advancement or new use of scientific technology has made your mission either more effective or easier? And what are some of the risks and benefits of these things?
Well, from the standpoint of infectious diseases, yeah. I think that there are a number of technologies. Let me just pick out one that is really transforming. And that is the ability to rapidly sequence microbes, the genome of microbes. And when I say rapidly, I'm saying that the first microbe that was sequenced decades ago took about a year and about $40 million to do. We can do it in a few hours for a couple of dollars now. It's just breathtaking what you can do. We refer to it as next generation sequencing, NGS, or deep sequencing, where you could take a quasi-species of viruses and sequence every single one of them and know the signatures of resistance, the signatures of transmissibility, the signatures of pathogenesis. We were not able to do that years ago. We can do it now in any really good university-type laboratory. That, to me, is the application of the capabilities of genomics, proteomics, informatics. And by informatics, we mean the ability to process all of this amazing amount of data that you collect that no human could sit down and decipher it. You need people who really know their way around informatic computerization of data to be able to give you the answer. To me, that has been technically the most transforming advance that we've been able to make.
So, Dr. Fauci, as we focus on the future, close our conversation today, what are some of the major opportunities and challenges you think your organization will face, and how will you address them?
Well, I think the opportunities are like in any area of science, that we are in an arena of extraordinary, breathtaking opportunities in science. From my own standpoint, from infectious disease and immunology, of being to unlock the intricacies and the secrets of the immune system and how you might control it when it's aberrant and supplement it or implement it when it's deficient. With regard to microbes, the challenge of the ability to be able to be prepared for any emerging infectious disease, as well as to look at the existing diseases and actually be able to think beyond just an aspiration, but actually a realistic goal of sending HIV/AIDS, malaria, and tuberculosis down the route that we did with smallpox, essentially get rid of it, that we're on our way with polio, which we're almost there. We had a setback when certain countries decided to stop vaccination, but hopefully we're back on track. Those are the opportunities and the challenges. One of the things that we are concerned about is that despite these extraordinary opportunities, that we're in an arena of constrained resources where science is considered a discretionary component of the budget. I personally don't think science should be a discretionary component of the budget. It should be a mandatory component of what we do and not a discretionary component. And then you have to worry about the anti-science culture that is around sometimes. People don't believe that science is going to help you, as opposed to what is so clear that science is the route to discovery, which is the route to better living, both from the standpoint of health as well as economics.
So what advice would you give someone who's thinking about perhaps a career in public service or medicine or both?
Well, the advice I would give them would be that if that's something you have an interest in, pursue it and don't let anything get in the way of pursuing it, because the gratification that you get out of public service and helping people, particularly in the arena of discovery, with all of the excitement of discovering something new. If you're not a basic scientist, but you just want to be a person who is a public health person, either a physician or a nurse or a healthcare deliverer, there's nothing that feels better than making someone feel better in the sense of alleviating pain and suffering, prolonging life in a meaningful way. That's something that you can't buy that anywhere. It's there, and it's for some people to make that their career. And I would suggest if you even have the slightest interest in that, that's a very gratifying career.
Well, Dr. Fauci, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join me today. It's great to have you back. But more importantly, I'd like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Great. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Dr. Anthony Fauci, Director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.